As we continue walking through the English phrases with their roots in the King James Bible, we finished through Daniel. We've done 268 of them already. Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. And so we'll just quickly walk through the minor prophets. There's not a whole lot. And then Matthew, just for trivia information, is by far the book with the most. There's over 100 in Matthew alone. Genesis up to this point was our biggest with 38. Matthew has 112. So we might not finish Matthew today. That's okay. But we're walking through the English phrases with their origins in the King James, showing its influence on the English language over the past 400 years. So as Hosea 8:7, Brother Scott, I'll give you that one. And Joel 2:25, Howard. And Amos 3:3, Roy. And Amos 4:12, Mark. And we'll stop there, but let's pray first. Lord, give us wisdom as we look into your precious word. And Lord, I pray that as we learn these phrases and as we look to the future, you'll give us opportunities to witness because of them when we hear the world use them, to remind them that your word is powerful and true and has been around a long time and that you are real. And so, Lord, I pray that this will be a blessing to our hearts and an honor to you. And we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hosea 8:7, Brother Scott. So sow the wind and reap the whirlwind comes from the King James. And then what did I give you, Howard? Joel 2:25. So the phrase locust years or years of the locust comes from the book of Joel. And then Amos 3:3, the entire verse is a saying.
Can two walk together except they be agreed?
That in itself is a common phrase. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And then Amos 4:12, Brother Mark.
Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel.
So prepare to meet thy God comes from Amos. All right, in Amos 8:10, if you want to turn over there quickly, at the end of the verse it says, the end thereof as a bitter day. So the phrase bitter end from here in Amos chapter 8, verse 10, we've all heard that phrase used, bitter end. All right, so the book of Jonah is next, and just the phrase a Jonah or Jonah is used sometimes to talk about someone trying to run away or run away from God, run away from their problems, whatever. So just the phrase, a Jonah. But within Jonah, we have in Jonah 4:3, Brad, if you would read that for us, a phrase that's commonly used, Jonah chapter 4 and verse 3. So that phrase, better to die than to live, is another common phrase. All right, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 8. Do I have any other readers over here? Nobody? All right, back to this other side. Brother Scott, could you read Habakkuk 1, 8, and then Haggai 1, 6, Howard, Malachi 3, 2, Roy, and Malachi 4, 2, Mark. And that'll finish up the Old Testament. So, Brother Scott, Habakkuk 1:8.
Their horses also are swifter than the leopard, and are more fierce than the evening wolf. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as an eagle that hasteth to eat.
So, swifter than the leopards. And what's the fastest land animal on earth? It's a leopard, isn't it? Oh, it's a cheetah. Close enough. But swifter than the leopards is a common phrase. Haggai 1:6, Howard. I'm not a nature expert.
You have sown much and grown little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. He clothes you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages to put into a bag with holes.
A bag with holes. So he's talking here about how, and we just preached through this 2 weeks ago, how if God's not in it, then nothing gets blessed. And that includes the wages that we earn. It's like putting them in a bag with holes. All right, and then Malachi 3:2. So just the phrase refiner's fire comes from Malachi. And then the last one in the Old Testament, that'll make 279 in the Old Testament, Brother Mark, Malachi 4:2.
But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall.
So the phrase Son of Righteousness, which S-U-N, is a common phrase. So that brings us to the New Testament, Matthew 1:1. And we'll be in Matthew a while. Like I said, there's 112 phrases in Matthew alone. So it is by far the book with the most. So Matthew 1:1, Brad.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Now it's sad to say so, but the phrase Jesus Christ is extremely common in the world, but primarily because it is a swear word or a swear phrase. But isn't it amazing how the world uses his name as a swear name but not realizing why they're doing it? Did you ever think about that? Could it have something to do with the God of this world and his hatred of Jesus Christ? But it is a common phrase, the phrase Jesus Christ. Everybody knows the phrase and the name of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, and then in Matthew 2, we don't need to read the phrase, but we read about the Star of Bethlehem, which is a very common phrase as well, especially at Christmas time, to talk about the Star of Bethlehem. All right, Matthew 3:2, Brother Howard, sorry, Brother Scott, and Howard 3:3, and Roy 3:7, and Mark 3:11, and Brad 3:12. So this is all Matthew chapter 3. So verse 2, Brother Scott.
And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
So that phrase, kingdom of heaven, even though most people don't understand what it represents, which is the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, the phrase itself is used a lot, the kingdom of heaven. And then Brother Howard, 3:3.
Well, this is he that has spoken of, that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
So the voice of one crying in the wilderness, or the voice in the wilderness, comes from the description of John the Baptist. And then 3:7. So a brood of vipers or a generation of vipers, common phrase. Jesus in describing the Pharisees. All right, and then 3:11.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
So the phrase baptism of fire or baptism with fire, usually talking about a major trial, comes from the prophecy that Jesus would also baptize with fire. Anybody know what it represents in the scriptures? Baptism of the Holy Ghost is obvious. That's our salvation. What does the baptism of fire represent? Knowing that the word baptism means to immerse. What do you think the baptism of fire is? It is hell. Exactly. So basically, Jesus is giving us a choice there. We can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or we can have the baptism of fire. It's our choice. Easy choice. Amen. All right. 3:12, Mark. Or Brad. So we've all heard the phrase, the wheat from the chaff, or the wheat and the chaff. That comes from Jesus saying that he would gather up the wheat and he would burn up the chaff. Talking about at the end when he gathers everyone together at the end of the tribulation period and the false believers will be cast into hell. All right, and then 4:4, Brother Scott. And 5:6, Brother Howard, 5:9, Roy, 5:13, Mark, and 5:14, Brad. So, chapter 4, verse 4 of Matthew.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Now, the world doesn't always use it in the right context. When they say man shall not live by bread alone, they often are using it to say that we should have more to eat than bread. But we know what God is teaching us, that we need his word. Amen. And that his word is more important than food. All right. And then 5:6, Brother Howard.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Is that 5:6? So what's the phrase in there? There's got to be one. What's that? Hunger and thirst after righteousness, maybe? Yeah, I think I have the wrong reference there. That's all right. We'll figure it out. Read 5. I gave 5:9 to you, right? That's why it was. It's 5:9. Yeah, it's 5:9. That's why. So that one's one that's used. Blessed are the peacemakers. Definitely. I'm sorry, Howard. I must have written down the wrong reference. It's a good verse, though. So Mark 5:13.
Ye are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost his favor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot for me.
So just the phrase salt of the earth, used all the time. And then similarly, 5:14, Brad. So the phrase, light of the world. So salt of the earth, light of the world. Both phrases used commonly. And then 5:15, the next verse, which we just sang about in Sunday school. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. So hide your light under a bushel, or don't hide your light under a bushel, a very common phrase. And then the next verse as well, 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So just the phrase good works comes from God's word. Amen. Any thoughts or questions up to Matthew 5? Something maybe it triggered in your mind in those first few chapters? All right, 5:18, Brother Scott. And 5:20, Brother Howard, 5:37, Roy, and 5:39, Mark, and 5:41, Brad. So 5 has a lot. So 5:18.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled.
So jot or tittle, one jot or one tittle. We've heard that used often. And then 5:20.
For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Just the phrase scribes and Pharisees. Now people often use it not to describe the actual scribes and Pharisees of the New Testament, but still the phrase is used. And then 5:37. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let your yea be yea and your no be no. Jesus said those words. And then 539, another very common one used by the world. Turn the other cheek. We've all heard that one in our lifetime, haven't we? They love to use that against us Christians. Anyway, it's in scriptures. Amen. And then 541, very similar. Brad? Go the extra mile. That came from the Bible. How many times have we heard that one used? Go the extra mile. All right, and then down in verse 44... Jesus said, love your enemies. Another very common phrase. And then in verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So that phrase, rain on the just and the unjust. Some people say rain on the good and the bad. It came from the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. All right, Matthew 6, 2, Brother Scott. 6:3 Howard, 6:10 Roy, 6:11 Mark, and 6:13 Brad. So let's go to chapter 6 now. So 6:2.
Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward.
So sound your own trumpet, or sounding your own trumpet. Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for that sort of behavior. And then 6:3, Howard.
But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doth.
So the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing, or vice versa. We hear people say that all the time, their right not knowing what the left hand. And then 6:10, Roy. So another phrase sadly used sometimes as a swear phrase, but kingdom come, or thy kingdom come. And then 6:11.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Our daily bread, very common phrase. And then 6:13. This actually has multiple ones, doesn't it? So first of all, deliver us from evil, very common phrase. Second of all, the power and the glory. And then the word, amen, or amen, however you want to say it. The world uses that word all the time. And this is its first occurrence in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6. All right, verse 19, Brother Scott, and verse 20, Brother Howard, verse 23, Brother Roy, in verse 24, Mark, and verse 28, Brad. So that's all Matthew 6. So start in verse 20. Matthew 6, 20.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
I gave you Howard's, didn't I? Sorry. Good reading, by the way. And the phrase is, lay up treasures in heaven. So if you could do a swap, Howard, and read 19.
Lay up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal.
So moth and rust corrupts, or moth and rust doth corrupt. Very common phrase. And then 6:23, Roy. The evil eye, or an evil eye, if thine eye be evil. And then 6:24.
No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
So no man can serve two masters. Common phrase. 6:28.
Instead of the holy field of fear that I grow, the poor will not be able to do this.
the lilies of the field. Down in verse 30 is another one. At the end of the verse, Jesus said, O ye of little faith. Very common phrase used even by the world. O ye of little faith. And then verse 34. Take no thought for the morrow. People often say, take no thought for tomorrow. And then at the end of the verse, another one, Matthew 6:34, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So another very common phrase that comes from God's word. It's amazing, isn't it? That's just six chapters of Matthew. All right, let's go to chapter 7 where there are heaps. Verse 1, Brother Howard. Brother Scott. Verse 2, Brother Howard. Verse 3, Roy. And verse 4, Mark. And verse 6, Brad. So Matthew 7, 1. We've all heard that one, haven't we? Judge not that you be not judged. And then 7, 2.
For with what judgment he judged, he shall be judged. And with what measure of might he might, it shall be measured to you again.
So measure for measure comes from this passage about judgment. And then 7:3. So the mote in your eye, or a mote in your eye, or some people might say a splinter in your eye, comes from this phrase. And then the next verse as well, Mark.
Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye.
So a beam in your eye, another common phrase. All right, and then 7:6. So to cast pearls before swine, which carries different meanings in the world, but it comes from God's word. And then in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. So just the phrase, the broad way or the wide gate, is commonly used. And then the next verse, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. So the straight and narrow, we've all heard people say, comes from Matthew 7:14, the straight and narrow. And then verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The phrase wolves in sheep's clothing comes from Matthew chapter 7. And verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. Comes from God's word. Isn't that amazing? That's only up through 7. All right, chapter 8, Brother Scott, verse 12. And verse 22, Howard. And then chapter 9, verse 2, Roy. And chapter 9, verse 17, Mark. And chapter 9, verse 20, Brad. So we're up to chapter 8 and 9. So just that phrase, weeping and gnashing of teeth, very common phrase. And then 8:22.
Jesus said unto them, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead.
Let the dead bury the dead, common phrase. Brother Roy, chapter 9, verse 2. Be of good cheer. Jesus said those words to someone about to be healed. And then 9:17.
Not if you mean to put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are perished.
So the phrase new wine into old bottles. And then chapter 9, verse 20, Brad. An issue of blood. And then 9:24, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Just the phrase, laugh to scorn, or laugh him to scorn, comes from God's word. All right, 9:36, Brother Scott, and 10:06, Brother Howard, and 10:14, Brother Roy, and 10:15, Mark, and 11:07, Brad. So, 9:36.
When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for upon them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd.
Sheep having no shepherd comes from Jesus Christ looking at the multitudes. 10:06.
Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Lost sheep. The phrase lost sheep. All right, 10:14.
And whosoever shall not receive you or hear your words, when you depart out of that house, shake off the dust.
Shake the dust off your feet, or shake off the dust of your feet, comes from that verse. 10:15. Day of judgment comes from God's word. Brad, 11:7.
This day departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes of St. John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?
A reed shaken with the wind. All right, chapter 11, verse 15, Brother Scott. 12:25, Howard. 12:30, Roy. 12:33, Mark. And 13:4, Brad. So, Brother Scott, if you could read 11:15.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Ears to hear. Comes from Matthew 11. All right, 12:25.
And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand.
So a house divided against itself, or a house divided against itself cannot stand. Very common phrase. And then Roy, 12:30. He that is not with me is against me. Well, that one's been used a lot in wars. But it comes from Matthew 12. And then 12:33. A tree is known by its fruit. And then 13:4, Brad. Fall by the wayside. Very common phrase. Down in 13:12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. We've all heard the phrase the haves and the have-nots. Came from Matthew chapter 13. All right, Matthew 13, verse 30, Brother Scott, verse 46, Brother Howard, verse 57, Brother Roy, 14:8, Mark, and 14:17, Brad. So 13:30. So the wheat and the tares. And then 13:46.
Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it?
So a pearl of great price. And then 13:57, Roy.
And they were offended with him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save his own country and his own.
There's a lot of twists on this one over the In the English language, but a prophet without honor, a prophet is only without honor in his own house or his own country. But it all comes from this parable here in Matthew 13. And then 14:8.
And she being before instructed of the weather said, give me here John Baptist's head of a charger.
A sad one, but head on a platter or head on a plate comes from the beheading of John the Baptist. And then 14:17.
And they say unto him, we have here 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Just the saying, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, has become a common phrase. And then 14:25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. So the phrase walk on water or walking on water, implying it's someone who is above the others and can do miraculous things. And then in 14:21, talks about the feeding of the 5,000. So people often use that as a comparison, like the feeding of the 5,000. And then that's a good place to stop. So we made it through Matthew 14. Thoughts, questions, things that came to mind as we looked at those? Asking it, good point. Yep, I didn't catch that one, but he's right. The promises about prayer in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find. Both of those very common phrases in Matthew. Good, Brother Scott. Any others?